So the FAA announced yesterday that because of the government shutdown, the 40 largest airports in the United States will be operating at 90%. 10% they're cutting back on because, well, they just don't have the air traffic control, the TSA, the bodies to make all of these flights run on time. We've talked about the SNAP benefits, that they're only going to get half of what those recipients are accustomed to getting. And so the real world ramifications of this government shutdown are certainly setting in. And what's the latest as we sit here in the longest government shutdown in our nation's history? Let's talk to Senator Gary Peters about it. Senator, good morning to you.
Well, good morning to all of you. It's good to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you for the time. We appreciate it. We know you're busy there in D.C., so let's get into it. Where are we at as we sit here this morning? Or is there anything moving in the right direction?
Well, I've been actively involved in conversations with my colleagues. We're trying to get out of this shutdown. We've got to try to do it as quickly as we can. I've been trying to do this for quite some time, and unfortunately, we still haven't made the kind of progress necessary to get it done, but I'm going to keep working at it.
What about the idea that the House is not in session? Do you think that is inhibiting anything? Because when we talked to Dave Trott, whatever it was this week, he was saying that McCarthy wouldn't let them leave when a shutdown happened.
Yeah, I agree. It's really irresponsible. We're in a major situation right now. We're trying to work it through. And to have the House basically say that they're irrelevant, they can go home, and they keep getting their paychecks for, I guess, it's 6 weeks now without being here actually working. Because whatever happens here is going to have to be done not only bipartisan, but bicameral. You need both a Senate and a House. And when the House refuses to be here, that basically means that they don't believe that they're relevant. And it's very disappointing.
Well, to be fair, I mean, they did pass the continuing resolution. This is something that has happened in government shutdowns for the last handful of years, 10 years, 15 years, the passing of a clean resolution. They've passed it. So they're waiting on you to get this done in the Senate. Is there the thought that there is going to be a different bill passed here in order to get this done?
Yeah, that's certainly the goal. Certainly the goal is that we're going to be able to work and craft something that's going to pass. And then it has to go back to the House. The Senate can't just act alone if any changes are
sure.
made to that. And that's the process that we're in right now. Is, as you know, we have been focused on extending the tax credits on health care, which we're seeing 24 million Americans now are seeing very large increases in their health care costs. In Michigan, you can go online and see those costs, sometimes doubling, tripling. Many people are not going to be able to afford health insurance. They're going to be dropping it. That's millions of people that will drop health insurance. And what happens when folks are not insured? That actually impacts everyone. Everybody's health insurance goes up because the pool changes. And in fact, if you look at the people who are going to be particularly hit as a result of these tax credits expiring, which were existing and they're now expiring, it's mostly younger folks. And trust me, we need younger people in the insurance pool to bring the cost down. You can't just have older, sicker folks in a insurance pool and think you're going to have affordable health care. So this is critically important. We've been aggressively trying to just get some negotiations, pass something, come together. It's curious, too, for me, in the fact that if you look at in addition to the young people, the folks who are seeing the largest increases in their insurance premiums tend to be in Republican House districts, with Republican congressmen representing that House district, and in Republican states. So it really impacts people who are voting for them disproportionately to us, and yet they're unwilling to try to find some common ground here.
Senator, let me ask you what some people are thinking. Why create this shutdown where people aren't getting their SNAP benefits to force a discussion on health care? Why not keep the government open and then have this discussion?
Because it was going nowhere. So we have to say we've got to come to the table. We've got to be able to negotiate. We've done this in the past. I mean, we've had these kinds of years that I've been here. We've gone to a situation where the budget needs to be approved, and we negotiate with the minority party. And when you think about the Republicans, they control everything. They have the presidency, they have the House, they have the Senate. They're supposed to govern. That's your job. And part of governing is finding common ground and getting things passed.
Well, the credits under the ACA that are now expiring that have raised the premiums for folks, that sunset date was set by Democrats, right? And so the politics at play here, you know, the optics for me is what is what I can't get over, because you've got Republicans saying, look, if we pass this CR on the other side, we can talk about it. I mean, for heaven's sake, you got Marjorie Taylor Greene out there saying that this is an issue that needs to be addressed. So there does seem to be support amongst Republicans for addressing this issue if the CR gets passed. Is it a matter of trust, though, do you think?
Well, certainly trust is a factor. There's no trust, very little trust here, unfortunately, right now, because people have said one thing and then they end up not doing it. And so we'd rather, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush, to use that phrase. And if folks want to be serious about talking about it, there's nothing preventing them from doing that now. We've been trying to do that over several weeks. To me, that's just kind of the adult thing to do. Let's talk it over. Let's find some common ground. And, you know, over the years, over the last three Congresses, I've passed more legislation than any other senator that I was the principal sponsor on. And I did that because I work bipartisan. I have a bill that I want to pass, so I'll reach across the aisle, even when we were in the majority, because I want Republicans on there. I want to say that we're working together to make it happen. And I've been able to pass more bills than anybody else. Mm-hmm. But it's frustrating now because it has gotten more difficult to do that. I'll be perfectly honest about that.
So each side is blaming the other side, and no one seems to be making any moves. What do you see as being the catalyst here for getting this government reopened? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I'm working on it. I mean, I've been talking to folks constantly, and my Republican colleagues daily as well. People are pretty dug in right now, which is frustrating for me on both sides. And they're kind of saying, you know, if we try to find a compromise, then that's somehow you've caved. And so when both sides think a compromise is something that is looked at as a loss, that's just a lose-lose situation. Compromise, there should be nothing wrong with compromise. There should be nothing wrong with finding common ground. That's how our Democrat small d democracy is supposed to work, where we come together, may disagree, but we have to find common ground. But right now, too many of my colleagues think if you find common ground, if you compromise, then that shows that you somehow caved to the other party. We got to stop thinking like that. We've got to just solve things. I'm going to keep working to try to make that happen.
You're in an interesting position, though, because you're not seeking re-election. And so you have a kind of an interesting role here. I'm curious to know what leadership is saying amongst Democrats in the Senate, and then what you're hearing from people of Michigan. What are you hearing from your constituents about this shutdown?
Yeah, a lot of this is being done not with the leaders, because they're, quite frankly, they're not talking like they should. It's very frustrating, both sides. And so it's a lot of us who are trying to figure out how we come together, get agreement from us. But I think, you know, ultimately, you do have to have the president be engaged if you're going to expect to get anything from the Republicans. I was intimately involved in the shutdown in the last Trump administration that dealt with border security and the DACA for the young people who were here. I was part of a group, 16 of us, 8 Republicans, 8 Democrats. We negotiated a solution to get out of that shutdown to try to move forward. So that was happening in the previous Trump administration. So we agreed on, it was a give and take. I didn't get everything I liked. They didn't get everything they liked. That's a pretty good compromise when both folks are giving. And we shook hands and said, we're going to do this. And so Mitch McConnell put the bill on the floor. And 1 hour before we were going to vote on it, President Trump in his first administration, he came out and said, I'm opposed to it. And every one of the Republicans who were in that group that had agreed to it all said, we can't mm-hmm. agree to it anymore because the president has changed his mind. So back to the trust. We got to trust that if people actually agree to something, they're not going to just flip if the president flips. So the president's involvement with the Republican caucus in both the House and the Senate is really important right now.
Just quickly here at the very end of our interview, the president banging that filibuster to end it, that drum, what do you think?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I know a number of my Republican colleagues do not want to do that, and they've been pretty strong on that issue, but we'll see if the
president
continues
to push
there. Are you into it? I think a filibuster works to bring people together, although it's not working right now, I will tell you.
But it preserves compromise.
It does. Yeah. I mean, the idea is that we should be able, we should come together. And the reason it's put in is that you having the majority just roll over the minority and not working with the minority is not good for our political system. It's
yeah,
a
agreed.
Tool to do that. And it goes both ways. You know, the Republicans are in the minority sometimes, too. And
right.
we're in the minority. So
yep.
it goes back and forth. And I just want folks to try to find a way to work together. And if we need a mechanism like that to do it, then let's keep it there.
Yeah. Agreed. Thank you, Senator. Appreciate the time. I hope we talk to you again very soon, because this doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. So let's talk soon.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you very much.
You
Have
got
a good
it.
Day.
That's Senator Gary Peters. Take a break. More next on JR Morning.